we have to use have to be different. We have to focus on the intelligence community. We have to focus on interrogation.
Congresswoman, that's Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, on the next battle in the war on terror. And already there are concerns that radical Imam Anwar al-Awlaki could be al-Qaeda's new leading face. The Yemeni American was born in New Mexico in 1971. He lived in both Britain and the U.S. Here at home, he worked as an imam. And according to reports, he's a suspected terrorist on the CIA's capture or kill list. Stephen Yates is the former deputy assistant to the vice president for national security affairs. Good morning, Mr. Yates.
Good morning.
Okay, so Michelle Bachmann was talking about the new tactics needed to fight the new al-Qaeda. Let's talk about the new al-Qaeda. Is this a new group now that bin Laden is dead?
Well, this group has existed for some time. This radical imam is someone who was born in the United States, as you noted, is familiar with our airport security systems, is web savvy, fluent in English, is particularly focused on attacking the United States by way of using foreigners and Muslim Americans. He's tied to the Christmas Day attack and also the Fort Hood shooting. And so he's been active for some time. And in an interesting way, it's really this al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula group that has been more active than Osama bin Laden and his ilk in recent years. So they're not terribly new, but very dangerous.
Does al-Awlaki have the sort of power and following that bin Laden did?
Well, I think what's important to remember in all of these groups is that there is a violent ideology that drives them that they use to recruit. It predates bin Laden, it predates al-Qaeda. And so really that is what helps them organize, what helps them recruit, and what gets people committed to kill themselves on the way toward killing Americans and other targets. And so yes, he will have those tools available to him to recruit. He is, as I said, web savvy and is recruiting people even in the United States to be his assets to conduct attacks.
And so what keeps national security types like yourself awake at night? Is it Anwar al-Awlaki or is it the lone wolf homegrown terrorist back here?
Well, I don't think that anybody can really sleep well at night that they have the whole map of the threats against us mastered. It's really quite an overwhelming brief that the president and his national security staff get every morning. Really, if you remember 9/11, it wasn't Osama bin Laden himself that boarded the planes. He sent other people. And so, I mean, we can have our focus on these individuals, where they are, what they're communicating, but we have to watch a whole host of other faces that we might not necessarily know until operation is conducted.
And obviously, we've heard this for a long time since 9/11, that one of the things that's changed with al-Qaeda, the new al-Qaeda, if you will, is that they're no longer so intent on the large-scale dramatic attacks that we saw with 9/11. If they were just to find some amenable lone wolves here who could simultaneously go out with guns, it might cause similar fear.
That's definitely true. It could cause similar fear. I mean, if you recall, at the time of 9/11, we had somewhat simultaneously the fear of a sniper running around the nation's capital area, and we just couldn't know for a long time. That created a lot of fear and terror of itself. But I think the key point is we don't really know how large of an attack these men are planning. They could be testing our systems with minor attacks in order to launch a major attack over time. I think with the counterterrorism portfolio, political leaders have to treat it as if it's nitroglycerin. You can't have a mission accomplished moment in any of these tactical victories because you never know when the next shoe may drop.
We have a graphic now, sort of a murderer's row, if you will, of the newest faces of al-Qaeda. And it's hard to see, but some of the most interesting notable ones there are obviously Anwar al-Awlaki and Adam Gadan, another American. How do you explain these two?
Well, I mean, people of all stripes are susceptible to recruitment and these kinds of things. I think that there's a widespread disenchantment in some quarters of the United States. There's actually a virulent ideology in the United States that seems to hate our government and hate our people. And I don't fully understand the psychology of how someone could make that full conversion, but it's very real that there are these weak human beings and weak psyches that are out there to be recruited by these evildoers.
It's chilling. Stephen Yates, thanks so much for coming in with your expertise.